the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed sheep in the flock of your good shepherd, Jesus. My mom is currently in heaven. She passed away from pancreatic cancer about 4.5 years ago. And so today, Mother's Day, I think about heaven. I think about what she currently is seeing and hearing and experiencing. And many of you might be doing the same thing. I know some of your moms are in heaven, and if they're not in heaven, maybe they're getting close enough to heaven that you're wondering if this is the last Mother's Day you will get to celebrate with them here on earth. And even if your mom is young and healthy, even then, it is good for us to think about heaven. For we know our life here on earth is temporary. This isn't our true home. Heaven is. And so, what do we know about heaven? For people have a lot of questions about heaven. You may have a lot of questions about heaven. For in the scriptures, we just don't have that much information about heaven. As an example, where is it? We know it's in a real place and space, but where exactly is it? Is it beyond the farthest star in the galaxy? Is it up there in the clouds, just hidden from our sight? Is it above this universe? On top of that, what will we see when we get to heaven? Will we see golden streets and golden mansions, rainbows and waterfalls? Will we see angels playing harps on top of clouds? Will you be so focused on the Lamb that you really don't notice anything else around you? Or finally, what will you do when you get to heaven? Will you just be singing, singing, and singing for all eternity? Or will you be living your life like you do here on earth, only it'll be in perfection without sin, the way God originally intended this creation to be when he made it? Those are some of the questions that people have about heaven. You might have some of those questions about heaven. In fact, you can probably think of a lot of other questions about heaven, for as I mentioned, the scriptures are relatively silent about it. For even in our text from Revelation chapter 7, which is one of the most clear pictures we have of heaven in all of Scripture, even then, most of what is described is not described of what we will actually be doing, but it's actually described of what we will not be doing. No pain, no scorching heat, no hunger, no thirst. And so I ask you again, what do we know about heaven? Well, let's look at the very first verse of our text from Revelation chapter 7. For this opening verse from Revelation chapter 7, it answers a very important question about heaven, a question that our God wants to make sure that we know the answer to. And that question is, who is actually in that blessed place? Who is there in heaven? For listen to what our opening verse says. It says, after these things I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne and of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hand. Who is in heaven? A great multitude is in heaven. In fact, it's such a great multitude that no one can count it. And isn't that comforting? For here on earth, we might get the impression that there may not be a whole lot of people in heaven. After all, here on earth, we can easily feel alone. You all have probably been in a situation where you feel like, maybe I'm the only Christian here. It seems like everybody around me is an unbeliever. And while it is true that there will be people who are sent to hell, take comfort in the number of people that are gathered around the throne of the Lamb. It is a great multitude that no one can count. What's greater than the greatest number that you know? How many zeros is behind that number? On top of that, you've all been a part of a large crowd before that is filled with energy and excitement. So can you imagine being a part of this great multitude that no one can count? It's pretty fun to think about, isn't it? On top of that, notice where this great multitude comes from. It's from every nation, tribe, language, and people. And isn't that comforting? For sometimes we get the impression that heaven will just be filled with people like us who look like us. After all, it seems to us that most of Christianity is in the Western world. For it seems like a lot of Middle Easterns are Muslim. Seems like the Far East is into the spiritual religions like meditation or Buddhism. But notice what our text says. Every nation, tribe, language, and people will be there. Christ died for all. The gospel will be proclaimed to the four corners of the earth. And so this great multitude will consist of people from all nations. And finally, we haven't even focused on the greatest person that is there in heaven. And that's the Lamb. For this great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, tribe, language, and people, they are all gathered before the Lamb. And there's no doubt who this Lamb is, right? For this Lamb, who earlier we're told looked as if he had been slain, this Lamb is undoubtedly our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why this great multitude is all gathered before him. It's why every single person in this great multitude is focused on the Lamb. He is the reason why that great multitude is there. He's the only reason why that great multitude is there. And that's brought out in our text as well. For you see in that opening verse which we read earlier, it doesn't just say that it's a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, language, and people standing before the Lamb. But that first verse, it even tells us why that great multitude is able to gather there. For while the great multitude does consist of people from every nation, tribe, language, and tongue, notice that it's not everyone from every nation, tribe, language, and people. There are some who are left outside of heaven, some who will not be allowed in there, some who have the door locked right before them. And so who is a part of this great multitude? Well, in that opening verse, after describing all the people that are there in heaven, including the Lamb, St. John says they are all clothed with white robes. And that's not a fashion statement. But these white robes are important. These white robes show why this great multitude is there. For as one of the elders would tell the Apostle John later in our text, these in white robes, these are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And there it is. There's the reason why this great multitude from every nation, tribe, language, and people are there. There's the reason everybody is wearing white robes. It's because they have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. For the blood of the Lamb cleanses all sin. The blood of the Lamb purifies all sin. The blood of the Lamb is what makes our robes so white. For the blood of the Lamb is what forgives all of our sins. The blood of the Lamb is what turns us sinners into saints. The blood of the Lamb is what makes us and every other person in this great multitude worthy enough to stand before the throne of God. Nothing else can do that. Only the blood of the Lamb can do that. And because only the blood of the Lamb can purify us from all sins and make us worthy to join that great multitude from every nation, tribe, language, and people who are gathered before the Lamb, because it's only by the blood of the Lamb that that is possible. Here on earth, right now, we don't really focus on all those questions about heaven that we don't know the answer to. They're not revealed to us in the scriptures. And even if they were revealed to us, we wouldn't be able to understand it. But I can assure you that heaven is far, far greater than what you are imagining right now. You will not be disappointed when you get there. And so, since it is only by the blood of the Lamb that we are worthy enough to join this great multitude, our focus as we live on this earth right now, our focus is making sure that we and our loved ones are covered in that blood of the Lamb, so that we and our loved ones can spend eternity as a part of that great multitude in heaven. And so I ask you, are you covered in the blood of the Lamb? Well, finally, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, this is where we get to the comforting analogy that Jesus is our Good Shepherd. You see, Jesus isn't just the Lamb who is slain, but at the same time, he is our Good Shepherd. We are his sheep. We are in his flock. He is our shepherd. And as our Good Shepherd, what does Jesus do for us? Well, you could summarize it with these words. As our Good Shepherd, Jesus makes sure we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. For think about it. Why does your Good Shepherd feed you with the rich green pastures of his word, whether it be the spoken word or the words connected with the water and baptism or the bread and wine and Holy Communion? Our Good Shepherd makes sure that we are fed with his word because that's how he forgives all our sins and washes us clean in his blood. And why does our Good Shepherd protect us from all the enemies, the wolves who are around us, which include the devil himself? It's all to make sure that we remain washed in his blood. For the goal of our enemies is to take the blood of the Lamb off of us. So our Good Shepherd protects us to make sure his blood remains on us. And finally, why does your Good Shepherd lead your life down the exact path it's going on? Even if you think it's the wrong path because it has some hardships and struggles. Your Good Shepherd leads you, his sheep, down that path because he knows it is the perfect path for you. The path that will keep the blood of the Lamb on you so that you can remain a part of his flock forever. In fact, that's why your Good Shepherd Jesus in our gospel lesson from John 10 made that wonderful statement, "No one can snatch you out of my hands." What a beautiful statement that is. For since you are his sheep, and since you are being fed with his word, protected by his enemies, and led down the path, since all that is happening, you can be certain that you, right now, are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, well, then it is impossible. Impossible for you, or your children, or your mothers, or any of your loved ones to be snatched out of the hands of your Good Shepherd. Your Good Shepherd promises to keep you safe. And so, my dear Christian friends, as we think about heaven, let's not concern ourselves with all these details that we will never know the answer to. But let's focus on that one important question. Are we and our loved ones covered in the blood of the Lamb? Since Jesus is your Good Shepherd, since Jesus is feeding you with his word right now as we speak. Since Jesus is protecting you from your enemies, since Jesus is leading your life exactly where it needs to be, you can say yes. I am covered in the blood of the Lamb. And since I am covered in the blood of the Lamb, one day I won't have any more questions about heaven. Because I'll see it and experience it with my very own eyes when I will join you and many of your loved ones. And all the saints who are a part of that great multitude from every nation, tribe, language, and people gathered around the Lamb, singing praises to him forever and ever without end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.